Today, we're talking about accountability. So, Dr. J, do clients need to be held accountable to reach the goals that they're going after?
No, they don't need to be. It can be part of the process, but they definitely don't need to be.
And so that's what we're diving in today in this episode. We're talking to a lot of coaches, whether they're doing nutrition coaching, a form of accountability coaching, and the pros and cons and what clients really need.
Welcome to Becoming the Ultimate Fitness Coach with the Jock and the Doc podcast, where fitness meets behavioral science. Join your hosts, Scott Schutte, a seasoned personal trainer, gym owner, and 360 wellness coach, and Dr. Janine Steister, a PhD behaviorist and expert in all things behavior change, as they share their combined expertise to empower fitness professionals like you with practical tips, cutting-edge topics, and industry-leading guests. You'll learn everything from motivation and goal setting to habit formation and overcoming obstacles. Whether you're a seasoned fitness pro or just starting off your coaching journey, Becoming the Ultimate Fitness Coach is your essential guide to mastering the art of coaching and changing lives.
Okay, let's start off with what we're seeing a lot in the industry. So we talk to a lot of coaches, we go to a lot of conferences, we're working with different gyms. And so some people are just doing the physical side. They're just doing the workouts, which is helpful.
Yep.
It's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
A lot of people need that. We're seeing some other coaches, they're doing a form of either nutrition coaching, accountability coaching. And so the pros and cons of this. Now, the pro is, and which we're a big fan of, is having these one-on-one conversations and helping people with the direction that they need to go to help reach their goals. Where we see a lot of people fall short is the approach that they take. They're like, we need to, our job is to hold people accountable. We even see other certifications, whether it's a nutrition one or behavior one, where they're like, our job is to hold people accountable.
Yep.
And so we teach the coaches to do that. And so the problem with that is it's saying that the plan that you're giving them is the exact right plan for them. It's not saying that maybe you gave them the wrong plan. So Dr. J, dive into to that of like the pros and cons of this accountability coaching that we're seeing a lot in the industry.
Yeah, and you know, in fairness, just like anything in our society, there's the definition of words and then it's kind of how people use it.
Yeah.
And we use things for marketing reasons and other things. And if we really look at the word accountability, it's about holding people responsible for their actions. And that makes a lot of sense in the legal world and other places like that. But when you think about behavior change, and again, we've all seen this on social media or whatever, where you get somebody who's yelling like, you got to hold their feet to the fire, you got to do all these things. And some people might like that approach, but I guarantee you it's a very small percent for a very small amount of time. And what we're really wired to do is have self-efficacy. So self-efficacy, which just really means like I'm confident in my ability to stay motivated and hit certain goals that I would like to have. And self-efficacy is really about how I function in my environment. I hit my own personality, my own needs, and I make those changes. And what we know is that if somebody doesn't have self-efficacy, if I ultimately don't believe I can do it, I won't stick with something or I will self-sabotage. And I know you coaches out there have seen your clients self-sabotage. So accountability helps people be aware. Like I had a conversation today with somebody and I was asking them about one of the 360 wellness coaching sessions that they had. And they were saying it was really eye-opening. So I said to him, I was like, well, why was it eye-opening? And they said, oh, well, I started to pay more attention to what I was eating and realized that my perception of what I was eating is not what I was doing, right? That's holding yourself accountable. That's kind of saying like, and again, in the coaching session, it was suggested, why don't you just kind of pay attention to that a little bit and then come back and see? So that's accountability. But to have long-term change, I have to believe I can do it.
Yep.
And if I'm struggling, then there's probably some tweaks to the plan, right?
Yeah, and I think this is misused a lot for a couple reasons. One is a lot of the trainers that we talk to come from this athletic background.
Yeah.
And so they're used to having a coach. They're used to having someone hold them to make sure that they go on practice. So not late to practice.
Yeah.
And all these different things. And us working with more of this general population, like it's a different relationship.
Well, especially because, sorry to interrupt, but like, when they're in athletics, a lot of times they're team-based sports.
Yeah.
So everybody has a role to play and you have to hold them accountable because that's that domino effect on everyone else. But when you're working with Gen Pop, right, we're talking about you and your world and your little and not some big team.
And so these same coaches are also drawn to these things that are big on accountability. Like I see a bunch of coaches that like to do the 75 hard and it's like they got to do all these things exactly right or they got to start over kind of
deal.
But most of the general pop does not respond well to that. And this is why I believe most of the general pop isn't into fitness. It's because it's extreme approaches, this hardcore all in or all out. The other part that's also deceiving too, and this is what really got me, is because we have clients come to us and like, I want someone to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
So we come from a background where we're being held accountable and it worked for us. And we have people telling us that they want someone to hold them accountable. So our solution is like, well, we need to hold their feet to the fire. We need to hold them accountable. We need to tell them whether they're doing right or wrong. And that's going to be the path for success for those people.
Yeah. And some of the ways that I hear coaches refer to it is like, oh, well, we have these check-ins. But again, when I ask them what that check-in looks like, it's like, did you do what you're supposed to do or didn't you do? And that's really that a form of accountability. I'm holding you responsible for your behaviors. However, that doesn't mean I'm hearing what's not working and what I'm talking about. The other part that I think is misleading that contributes to this is this notion of individualization. So I was recently on a cruise, first time ever on a big old boat, and I went into the gym, and it was an impressive gym. It's very big, a lot of really nice new equipment. And they had this big digital screen of their personal trainer and his bio and stuff. And I was reading through it and they're like, oh, hire this personal trainer and he'll give you an individualized plan and you'll have a nutrition that's just for you and whatever. And I'm reading this going, I'm on this cruise for like 4 days. How's that happening, right? But we all want to hear that something's individualized. And so people are starting to pair. If I hand you a meal plan, and I handed it to you, all of a sudden, somehow it's individualized. And, you know, when I was reading through that, and so we sometimes advertise things that aren't as, and so people assume that you just hand me something, I'm supposed to do it, and then that's why they ask for accountability, because what they're really asking for is someone to walk alongside of them, support them on their journey, but also help problem solve when things aren't working well. And so, to your point, people are asking for it, but we're also using that word in a way that people are just like, can I get some help? It's yep. really what they're asking for.
Yeah, and the term that we like to use is goodness of fit. And so the two things that I'm constantly looking at when working one-on-one with clients is one, is it getting them trending in the direction towards their goals? So say body fat loss, weight loss is their goal. Are we heading in that direction? And two, how easy is it? Like, I could put everybody on a chicken and broccoli diet and they'll lose weight. The majority of the people would hate life. And so we accomplish one, but not two. And that's what I see a lot of these approaches. They're giving a specific meal plan for people that haven't cooked for the last couple weeks. And they're giving these macros they're not used to tracking. They're giving these things that are just not easy for these people. So people are having failures very early on their path for whatever they're trying to accomplish. And so if we can think more goodness of fit, one, it's getting as much detail as we can early on and trying to give a plan that's specific to them. And then when we do follow-ups, one, we want to make sure that they are losing what they're wanting to or heading in the right direction. But two, it's always constantly following up and seeing how easy it was and how enjoyable it was. If someone comes in and they're like, I'm starving or it's really hard, something like that, like we need to adjust the plan that was given to them because there's so many different approaches we can take with clients. Like one of the popular ones now, and I'm seeing it all over the place, is like this 30-30-30. So it's like, okay, 30 minutes with them waking up, we need to have 30 grams of protein and we need to do 30 minutes of steady state cardio. Now, is that bad? No, if the general population got 30 grams of protein early in the day and they got 30 minutes of steady state cardio, that's definitely not a bad thing. But when people are like, this is the only way to lose fat, I'm like, no, that's ridiculous. Like I had a client that brought it up to me today and I was like, she's losing really well, but she hates eating before she has her workout in the morning when she works out early. I was like, you don't need to do it. You already seen the stuff that works for you. So just kind of making sure that we're making this very individualized and figuring out this goodness of fit.
Yeah, and it's not, to your point, like the 30-30-30 may work, but we also still have to communicate it in a way of like, 30 minutes upon waking up and before your workout, and then you do this 30. But if you have kids and they got to get somewhere and you have a significant other and you can't leave the house or you have this or...
And if you hit 31 minutes, it doesn't...
It's just over. So you might as well
give up.
Yeah, just binge for the rest of the day and try again tomorrow. So we just have these habits of communicating. And where I was going to go with that is... people will argue that when you do the 30-30-30, it's really nice for advertising. It's an easy TikTok. It's a this. It's simple. I've simplified this. This is how you lose weight. 30-30-30. It's easy to remember. It's simple. And what a misgiving that we're pushing on people is that this is simple. It's not simple if your lifestyle involves anyone else. And it's the same with other things. It's like, oh, well, we'll give you this easy, simple meal plan. And I think it's really important to set people's mindset in a positive way. So I'm all for not going, oh my God, it's going to be so hard. This is going to suck. Like, that's not helpful either. But when we take something and we say it's simple and then we hand it to the person and then go, so do you think you can do it? Nope, I don't do simple. Like, unless it's complicated, I can't do it. Or I'm so simple that this isn't simple for me. What are people going to say? They're going to say, okay, yeah, I can try that. Or it's easy, it's simple. But it's very complex given all of the other features of their lives. So having them be empowered to say, hey, I appreciate you handing me this meal plan, but in looking at it, it doesn't work with my kid's schedule. It doesn't work with my lack of ability or desire to cook. It doesn't work with, you know, my family patterns or my lifestyle. And us being going, oh, thanks for that input. Walk me through. I don't want to eat before 11 a.m. Okay, let's move this here. Let's do that. And really focusing on what the goal is instead of what we think should work for you. And then you should just hold yourself accountable or I'll hold you accountable to get it done.
And really, if we're a good coach, we can play kind of this detective and figure out, like, what are the one or two small things that we can change that's going to make the biggest difference in their lives? For example, this week I was working with a guy and he was going over, we were doing some little dietary recall real quick. And his lunch, he was doing a smoothie. And so I looked up the smoothie that he was having and it was a 1,000-calorie smoothie. And so this is an easy fix. I looked up, we found a couple other options that he liked. And so now we're talking about a 300-calorie smoothie versus 1,000. So if everything else stays the same, we don't do anything else. And he has a 700-calorie restriction on a daily basis. That could be enough, that all he needs to do to lose a significant amount of weight.
And what I love about that too, and we've talked about habit stacking and also how many things you're changing at once. Literally, he's driving through the same smoothie place at the same time that he always does. And the only change is the word he's using, this one versus this one. And then he drives off, he still gets it, and it's something that he likes. And we talk about all of that too, because one of the challenges with all this accountability and some of these things is we're changing 10 things in that person's life at that one time. So if he's running through there for lunch, let's say, and we're like, nope, don't go to the smoothie place. You need to run home, make yourself a chicken salad and this and that, and then go back. That would be changing so much. So not only is that great just to find an alternative there, but everything is literally the same, which makes execution so much better.
Because there's one nutrition company that I was going through some of their material, and their like number one thing was have everyone track their macros and calories. You know, like, why do I need this guy to track that if I can just adjust that? And there's another group that they give everyone a meal plan. I'm like, well, why do we need to change up all these different things? Like, what we're doing is we're creating more difficulty, more complexity. And if we can really dive into this, we can figure out what specifically that person's goals is and what they need to, the smallest amount they need to change. Then we can get everything that we want there and everybody wins.
Yeah. And also, and I do know clients will say this, they'll come in sometimes and be like, oh, I lost weight or I was really successful 15 years ago when I was doing this. I think I should do this. And I understand their logic, but that's also when we talk about goodness of fit, where we have to say, what's different about your life now than it was 15 years ago? What are the new variables? Do you have a different work schedule? Were you in college then? Did you have all of these demands on your lifestyle or even preferences? Because sometimes people feel like, I followed a meal plan before and it worked. Okay, what was going on then? Do you have the same lifestyle? Do you have the same preferences that you did then? If not, it's okay if we don't do the exact same thing you did before, but there's other ways to get to this. And it might be tweaking those one or small things that, because we've talked about this on this podcast before, but we want people to have success, but we also want them to be able to sustain it. And I think, honestly, sometimes people are worried that if people have full success and can sustain it, that people will fire them, right? I don't need you anymore. But actually, if you're the person that helps me make small tweaks and helps me think about things different, I am going to be very much wed to sticking with you and having you help me tweak. Hey, I'm going on vacation. How can I do this? I'm doing this. Yep. I'm going to trust you to be that guide along that journey, as opposed to that person that got me to change and hate my life for 4 weeks, and now I've gained it back and I'm miserable. So we need to not be scared that they're going to fire us if we make it easy and enjoyable for them.
Yeah, so as we wrap up things here, you know, if you're just doing the physical side, you need to look more into this. We call it 360 wellness coaching. You need to figure out a way to meet with these people one-on-one, figure out where they're at, and find the goodness of fit for them so they can get the results, but it's also giving them a plan that they can sustain for the rest of their lives.
So until next time, leave us a comment and let us know what you're doing, what you have found successful, or if any of this is something you can incorporate.
See you next time.